Continuing our study on the Bride of Christ, I would like to draw your attention to John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. The Bible says, "After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him.' John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease.'" We read here in this passage that John's disciples approached the baptizer with a concern. They were aggravated to hear that Jesus, who was formerly baptized by John, had seemingly stolen the concept of baptism from John and was now traveling around Judea, attracting his own group of followers. They came to alert John to Jesus' rising popularity and encourage John to work harder to promote himself with the multitude, lest he be overshadowed by Jesus. But although John's followers saw Jesus as a threat to his influence, John knew that it was necessary for Jesus to be elevated above him. Isaiah and Malachi prophesied about one who would prepare the Jews for the coming Messiah. They described him as the messenger of the covenant, Elijah the prophet, and one who would prepare the way of the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, the angel Gabriel directly identified John as the subject of these prophecies. "He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John's mission was to prepare the Jews for the new covenant that Jesus would bring to them. To help his disciples understand his place in God's divine plan, John uses the analogy of a wedding party. He describes himself as the friend of the bridegroom, a position that is somewhat similar to our best man, but whose duties were considerably more important than simply showing up at the wedding, throwing a party for the groom, or proposing a toast. During the time of John, it was traditional for the betrothed couple to choose one of their closest friends to hold the honored position of friend of the bridegroom. It was his duty to serve as an intermediary between the bridegroom and the bride during the betrothal period, and was in charge of attending to the details of the marriage ceremony. He would help the bride prepare for the wedding, manage the ceremony, and preside at the following marriage feast. Once the ceremony had commenced and he had heard the bridegroom's voice, the friend would rejoice knowing that he had faithfully carried out his task of preparing the bride for the bridegroom. Using this analogy, John paints a clear picture of his duties for his disciples. Jesus is the bridegroom, and he is the friend of the bridegroom, appointed to prepare the Jews for Jesus' coming. Because he sees that Jesus is being received by the multitude, John rejoices, knowing that he has carried out his appointed task. John 3:29 is a significant passage because it identifies Jesus as the one who would bring about the new covenant. This idea comes from a prophecy found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Here Malachi speaks about a messenger that would be sent by God to prepare the way for another, the messenger of the covenant. with the comparison that he makes in John chapter 3, verse 29, between the bridegroom who has the bride and the friend of the bridegroom, John the Baptizer clearly establishes himself as the messenger preparing the way for Jesus, who is the messenger of the new covenant. John also carries on the use of marriage imagery to describe the relationship between God and his people. Just as God was depicted as the husband of Israel in the Old Testament, Jesus is depicted as the husband of the church. As the bride and the bridegroom, Jesus and the church are bound together as one under the new covenant. Jesus has nothing but love for his bride. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." In fact, Jesus loved his church so much that he was willing to shed his blood on the cross for her in order to ratify the new covenant between them. According to Mark chapter 14, verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Jesus' blood acted as the ultimate sacrifice, sealing the new covenant in God's eyes and bringing us under its statutes. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. So, who are the many that Jesus shed his precious blood for? Who are those that receive the redemption of his blood? The answer can be found in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The many are those who are a part of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Those who are willing to be a member of the bride of Christ will benefit from his sacrifice. A passage I find encouraging is John chapter 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Isn't that a beautiful thought, to know Christ loved us so much that he was willing to die for us in order to provide for us a better way? Truly, Jesus is our greatest friend. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 10 say, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we are enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Because of the love that Jesus displays for us, we don't have to worry about eternal punishment. Jesus will intercede on our behalf, but only if we accept the place that Christ has provided for us in his bride. Finally tonight, let's consider what it means to be a part of Christ's bride. Being a member of the bride of Christ is more than just a weekly appointment at a building. It's more than just taking up space on a pew. As members of the bride of Christ, we are members of a brotherhood that encompasses the world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, we are commanded to honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's be motivated to work on improving these four aspects of our Christian lives. We need to show kindness and love to all people, regardless of their background, race, gender, social class, or education. We should show respect to our fellow brothers and sisters in the bride and take care of each other. In Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13, Paul says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." We should give to our God the fear and respect he deserves. Finally, we should show honor to our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Much of the religious world has forgotten that Jesus occupies the position of husband of the church. As such, Jesus should be the head of the church, and we should defer to his authority and instruction when it comes to church matters. We should follow John the Baptizer's example and strive to be the friend of the bridegroom. As the bridegroom's friends, we should stand and hear his voice, receive his instructions, and carry out his orders without deviation. We should be working to prepare the bride for the bridegroom's coming by spreading the news of his love for mankind and the sacrifice that he made in order to provide men with a more perfect way of salvation. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 say, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let us strive to bring honor and glory to the bride and the bridegroom.